We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We got to start with the good news.
Yeah, sure.
We've been waiting on this news. A couple weeks ago, you were bouncing around the studio late in the show, and then we had to sit on the news. And the news is...
I got a little bump at the worldwide leader. A
little four-letter network bump
A little bump for the college football season here.
And tell us what... So the week one is a good matchup. Tell us where you're going to be week two, friend.
Oh, I'm going to be Jordan-Hare down at Auburn.
SEC environments really are.
We got TCU, Colorado week one. We got Auburn week two. And that's as far as I go.
So right now, Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State are removed from this conversation. But outside of those three schools in the Big Ten, there are very few
SEC
environments.
SEC football is awesome.
The environment, like leading up to it, the tailgates, it's like NFL vibes.
Trust me, I booked my flight yesterday. I'm going Thursday. I'll be there.
That's a pro move
I'll
there.
I'll be in the mix.
So congrats, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate
that. That's awesome.
It's going to be a fun year for us.
We needed some good news this week because all we've had is Roger Dodger with his doom and gloom bringing on the Cleveland Browns. So the idea we have some good news today, that's where we start here. We also have to get into, because I've heard it referenced a few times, what Kevin Stefanski had to say. He did not give the Browns beat a definitive answer on playing Deshaun on Friday, although he did say that he would travel to Jacksonville with the team. Then when he was on with us, he then went on to explain at some point in the preseason we should expect to see him.
So before we get to that quickly, do want to mention... Hey, how about those guards, huh?
Yeah.
How about those guards?
Yeah, we're not calling them Gardos,
the Gardos.
Though. I'm not doing the Gardos thing.
Eli Morgan. Mm-hmm. I almost wanted to strangle you last night.
It wasn't
It was close. But Class A, you shut the door.
He did. It was a Class A performance by Emmanuel
Class
A.
Class A performance.
Real quick, can we admit we're not doing the Gardos thing here?
We're going to do guards.
I'll do guards.
Okay, if you agree to do guards and no G-men, I will drop the Gardos.
Okay, because I would like to say... Jeff Phelps was first on the Guardians nickname as the G-Men.
Yes.
I understand why people don't like
it.
But I now, because I jumped on that bandwagon, I can't get on the Gardos bandwagon, respectfully.
Okay.
But I can
but
get on.
No guards?
We are going guards.
All right, so the guards, nice win last night.
Nice win, first Biebs, place guards.
Solid Biebs. We had a nice little big time hit there by Gonzalez.
The Rooks late in the game came up offensively. Good for them.
Rosario, Gonzalez.
I don't know why I say Naylor is part of the Rooks. He's just a young guy.
Yeah.
He's just part of the baby guards. Huh?
Yeah.
No, that's not great.
Yeah, it helped the bank account last night.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really are riding a high right now.
I like the guards.
Maybe after 7 o'clock you just go to bed because the reversal that'll happen.
No, I like them again tonight.
All right, we got him.
Savali.
So we'll talk about the first place guards. But Kevin Stefanski was on the show yesterday and talked about Deshaun and the likelihood of playing time in the preseason.
It's likely that he will play in one of these games, okay. Yes. But, you know, I think there's 1,000 ways to do it, honestly. Yeah. And I think for me, I'm just trying to make the right decision for each of our players. And then ultimately, when he's suspended for however many games that becomes, then the plan for him when he's out of the building and when he can get back in the building. And I know you can return at a certain point.
Right.
That's really important, too. And it's important when he gets back in here and is practicing. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen between now and then. But all of it's important. How we practice right now and then ultimately when Deshaun comes back is important.
I think that was about as close as he was going to come before talking to the team about telling us how much Deshaun's going to play. Does it matter to you when Deshaun plays in the preseason? For instance, this Friday versus preseason game number 2 or preseason game number 3. You got to turn on your mic there, fella.
Yeah, I'm not a pro. so, mic's on. I do not think it matters to me. I think it matters to the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're the Browns, are you worried that if you put Deshaun out there Friday, this could affect any sort of appeal or the amount of games they decide to give you? Like, I'm a little worried about that. I don't know that it really matters, but I'm thinking about these things. Like, from an optics perspective, putting Deshaun Watson out there in an NFL game when he's facing all these things and facing the suspension, how is that going to be looked upon by Roger Goodell in the NFL?
Yeah, they're.
Have you thought about that? Do you think it matters?
Well, I mean, let's be honest here. Up until the last couple of weeks, I didn't think the contract was going to be that big of a deal. We heard the owners this week at the league meetings. It's pretty apparent they're pissed about the contract that Deshaun got after being traded for and how that impacts the pay scale. So the NFL owners want blood. It's not necessarily even about the PR. It's about the contract. Roger Goodell clearly wants the PR win here. I'm torn, though. Like, what's the worst look for the NFL? Deshaun playing on Friday, and let's say the Peter C. Harvey ruling comes out on Friday, that, or the Peter C. Harvey ruling doesn't come out till next week, and then 10 days later you play, and Deshaun plays two series.
Like, if he gets a full year, he's got to go home. He can't be around the team.
Mm-hmm. Not even if they're... I'm not going to get in the legalese.
Okay, so based off of what I've been told, a full year is a banishment, right? Mm-hmm. And you then have to leave the team. If you are suspended X amount of games, it's not a full season, you can still be around the team in the preseason, then have to leave for the regular season. Then you can come back, I think, halfway through the suspension to participate in practice.
Is he going to get the Lane Kiffin? Is he going to be on the tarmac getting ready to take off? Peter C. Harvey. Because this isn't, if the NFL really wanted to humiliate Deshaun Watson and leak it to them, the Peter C. Harvey thing comes out. Deshaun's on the plane. What if they're 50,000? I don't know how high you have to be in a plane. What if they're 50,000 feet?
I don't think they go that high.
20?
I think 30. 40. 30?
Okay. 30,000 feet high. If you're 30,000 feet high, does everybody have to Amish style shun him? Do we have to turn your backs on Deshaun because he's not legally a part of the team anymore?
Do they all turn their backs as he gets off the plane?
Yeah. You gotta hit him with the deuces. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. I don't know you anymore. I'll see you in 6 months' time, 8 months' time. This really is, and this lingering on, the Peter Harvey part of this lingering on is a crap show. And I tend to think.
I don't know why we don't know, because Goodell basically said yesterday that, yeah, they're giving him a year.
Because they want.
So what's the holdup here?
They want the optics that they're taking time. They want the optics that they're giving it fair thought, even though we all know the process is rigged.
Yeah.
So because the process is up and down, because what you just said about the full season banishment would mean you got to go away from the team, I no longer know how important it is to see Deshaun play. I know Deshaun can play. I've seen him play.
I've seen him throw balls out in Berea,
and
it looked like some of the best balls we've ever seen.
And because of that, I don't need
good balls.
I don't need to see. You're right. I don't need to see good preseason balls. If it's not going to be.
You want to see regular season balls.
I want to see quality regular season balls. And if that's not on the docket, no balls for us,
okay,
I would say.
All right. We need the balls.
But if he's not going to play.
We might not get him.
Yeah. If he's not going to play, what are we doing playing him in a preseason game?
Yeah, I get it.
Well, even now, the suspension could be as likely to be at least 12 games or more.
Right.
I. I mean, would I like to see it? Because the appetite gets whetted for you know, what he'll eventually be.
Whetted?
Yes. I know it wasn't great, but we move on.
I thought you were smarter than that.
I'm not. I'm really not.
You appear to be, though.
Thank you. I appear to be smarter than I really am. That's all I've ever asked for. But I don't know. I think now that it's 12 games, I'm sure we would all, those three plays that he made. Look at those balls from those three plays. Weren't those magnificently thrown balls? All right, was that going to get you through? Are you going to hold on to those three throws into December? Like, let me remember those preseason balls.
Browns fans are very thirsty.
They are. God, I just, now because the whole thing's up in doubt, I just, like, last week before, it's 2 weeks ago. I wanted to see him the preseason, and I wanted to see him.
I do want to see him. I want to see him play. I want to just get a taste, even though it doesn't count, doesn't matter. Like, put him out there Friday in Jacksonville, and let's see what this guy can do.
This is finally to the point.
And by the way, I'm telling you right now, if Deshaun Watson goes out there Friday against the Jaguars and lights it up for two drives, mm-hmm. and they go, let's say they go like 70 yards, touchdown, whatever, another drive, get a field goal or a touchdown, whatever. It looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Fans are then going to be more angry at the NFL.
Yeah, that's kind of why I don't need it. Like, well,
it's going to make the conversation harder because fans who are diehards are going to be looking at, man, the season starts in 3 weeks. This is going to be our future quarterback. Look how good he looks. And the NFL is just railroading us.
Yeah, and I think there's a risk-reward in preseasons. I tend to believe that most players do need some form of preseason, even if it's just a couple snaps. Because you've talked about the difference between,
speed is just incredibly different.
Training camp practice into any sort of thing that approaches an NFL game. It is night and day different. But if Deshaun either isn't going to play until December, at which point, if that were the case, I think he would be coming back with a team in like November. If that is going to be the case, if that's the best case scenario, I don't think the reward is worth the risk anymore. Because the risk always in the NFL preseason, especially a quarterback, is you get the Trent Green. Somebody falls into you, somebody goes into you, and then you're out for the year. And I'm confident that even after 2 years off, if that is the case with Deshaun Watson, that Deshaun Watson can go out 2 years from now, or 2 years, a year from now, and there will be a little rust, but I think he hit the ground running. If he has to rehab an injury while missing a second year of NFL action, I think it's going to make it tougher for him. I don't think the risk reward is what it normally is, like if we were expecting him to play week one.
Hmm.
Or even week seven.
Right.
So we've gotten to the point where just wrap him in bubble wrap. Let's wait to hear what Peter C. Harvey has to say. And let's pump our brakes here. We all want to be wedded here. We all want to get excited. We want that appetite wedding. Maybe this is the time where we don't do that. We don't do the thing. Because from the Browns standpoint.
No, you got to play him,
Nick. Specifically this weekend?
No, whenever you decide you want to in one of these three games.
Why do you think you have to play him, though? Because
he hasn't played a game in a year and a half.
And then he won't play a game for 3 months.
Doesn't matter. Like, even if it's just one game in a few series, it's something he hasn't experienced. I was a pregnant pause there.
Okay.
It's one of those. It's like riding a bike, right? You haven't rode a bike in a year. You get on a bike, feels good.
Yeah,
feels normal.
I don't know about that.
Just get him back to riding a bike.
I don't know about that. I'm heavy
sex?
Set.
Can we talk about sex?
Sure. Yeah. Let's do that.
I'm having sex for a year.
Let's get back to the preseason balls for one moment. In the meantime, there's a crutch to start the show. Our question for you guys. Given how up in the air everything is with Deshaun Watson, do you feel like you still need to see Deshaun in the preseason for the Browns? I can't get behind it given the uncertainty. I hate players playing in the preseason anyways. In this case, if you are pro Deshaun Watson playing in the preseason, not you, we already talked about it, but if you are pro Deshaun in the preseason, I just want to hear what is the reward to the risk of the injury with Deshaun Watson. And we bring this up because Aaron Rodgers, Packers quarterback, has come out and pretty much said the old one playing one series in the preseason, not really much of a benefit to a guy like him. Here's what he had to say.
I don't see any benefit to it. I definitely don't see any benefit to playing one series. You know, if we're going to play, we should play. And play a quarter, a couple series, two or three series. If we're going to just suiting up for four plays, to me, is a waste. And I'm not saying this to send a message to Matt. I've already told Matt the same thing. So we'll see what happens when we get there. It'd be nice if that were the case, if Kansas City was playing some of the guys too. But when you have a stinker like we did last year in week one, there's always going to be the second guessing of what happened in training camp. Should we have played more? Should we have played in the first game, the second game, whatever it might be. I don't want to overreact to that. Matt doesn't either. But if we feel like we need to go out there and play a quarter or more, you know, that'll be Matt's call. I'm sure he'll lean on me and Big Dog and Alan and some of the older guys to see what they're thinking. But if we play, we should play and not just play three plays, three runs and punt it. That doesn't do anything for any of us. You know, there's injuries in football all the time. So I think it's kind of a no-win situation to the outside the building. And if somebody gets hurt, oh, I can't believe they played our guys. But if we go out and have a stinker, I can't believe they didn't play them.
Right.
So I think it's just you just got to do what's best for the squad. And Matt's going to do that. He's going to lean on, you know, the leaders of the football team. And if he feels like we need to go out and play, we'll go out and play. But I don't want to just go out and play three plays. That, to me, is a waste of time.
I kind of like this new Aaron Rodgers.
The I don't give a you know what.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, now that he's not feuding with the Packers, where he's not openly warring with Goody Booty Brian Gutekunst, the GM in Green Bay, now that he's not, you know, subtly shading the organization at all times, I like the fact that he is a little more outspoken and less chachi. He's walking the line. Now, I think what he says is fair. I think given the way I know that this is tough because you're asking all 32 teams to be uniform about it, but when we had four preseason games, you knew the flow of the preseason. Starter's going to play one series in the first game. In the second game, you're going to get a little bit more. Third game is the dress rehearsal. And the fourth game is all about, you know, guys 54 through 90 on the roster. Now, it's ridiculous that you're going to have, all right, Aaron Rodgers in the ones in Green Bay are going to go one series against the two defense of this team. And then week two, you're going to see these ones go for half a a half of a game, and then against the two. If you're going to try and make the preseason or trying to keep it as relevant as you can, you do have to find a way to find some uniformity between the teams. Because like even this, are we going to see one series of Deshaun and a couple series of Jacoby? Like all reps are great, I'm sure to some degree. I can understand the idea that reps are worthy of being taken, that they give you live reps in a preseason game gives you some advantage, but I don't really see the advantage of Aaron Rodgers for one series against somebody's backups there. And for Deshaun, if I knew he was going to play October 23rd, maybe I'd feel different about him playing in the preseason. Let's go with Todd. Todd, welcome to the show, buddy.
Todd,
what you got
Todd,
for
Todd,
us?
Todd, Todd, Todd.
Yo, Dustin, Nick.
Yo, Todd. So,
yeah, man, he needs to know, and the fans need to want to know, but he needs to know, and the Browns need to know, to what degree he's got some still good muscle memory against competition that does not want him to win. That is important, and I do think it's actually a good idea for him to play at least a quarter's worth of football each one of these three teams that they play in the preseason. It doesn't have to be a straight quarter. They could come in, they could switch out the series, that's cool. But he needs to play at least a quarter's worth, at least a quarter's worth of football, which each of these three games.
So you're saying a quarter per game?
At least a quarter's worth of football.
Because Kevin Stefanski has said he'll play in one of those games and didn't really comment on how much he'll play in that one game that he does play.
At least a quarter's worth of football in each one of these three games they play. Now, so, if he's dropping in and out of a series, you know, maybe that's cool. It doesn't have to be a straight quarter. And I want to add one thing to this.
Okay.
In addition to that, I want that dude to get on a plane as soon as the preseason is over, and I want him to be front row at every Baltimore Ravens game taking notes. For real.
All right, that's a little Monday Night Raw-ish, but I like the idea. I like the gumption there. So you are the former NFL player. I am not. Walk me through how the stop and start of this – Is it like, because Todd's theory is it's going to help shake off the rust and Deshaun's mentally going to know, oh, I can still do this after a year out of the NFL. Because of this preseason reps, you know, he wanted one at least one quarter per game. Which
I think that he should play. I mean, Stefanski said to us yesterday, and maybe it could change and maybe it could be more, but he sort of said it's going to be one of these three games that he'll play. And frankly, in one of these games, I would play Watson for about a quarter and a half to two quarters.
So how does it, so the stop and start of it, getting out there, how does it help him get ready if he's then going to be out for 12 games or 17
number
games?
One, we don't know exactly how many games he's out. And at this point in time, you're trying to prepare as though he's going to play at some point this season. And these are gimmies. Like, it's a freebie. It's an opportunity to go out there against a live pass rush with your guys and put on a little bit of a display. And frankly, from a PR standpoint and from a like a Brown standpoint, if I'm trying to minimize all of the collateral damage that comes along with Deshaun Watson, put him on the field in a preseason game, let him ball out.
So,
and let people see what they've invested in. And I think that would change some people's minds about this because it's about football.
I can wrap my head around we want to go ahead and put him out there because of rust. I might not agree with it. I might think it's a moot point because of the way this thing looks to be lined up, but I can at least get behind that. If the Browns are thinking right now from a PR lens on this with Deshaun Watson, I'd be pretty pissed. One series in the preseason isn't going to wash away a 12-game suspension. One game in the preseason isn't going to, you know, keep us satiated through next September if that's the first time he plays as a Cleveland Brown on an NFL regular season field. I'm totally okay with the rust argument. But if the Browns are thinking PR, I'd be pretty disappointed that an organization that smart has what I think is a fairly reductive, risky way of thinking about it, of trying to get a PR win. I think the Browns need to realize the only real thing that's going to combat PR wins is Deshaun playing and winning or the Cleveland Browns winning regardless there. Jason, what you got for us, buddy? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. I feel like he should not play, and some of it is because I don't trust the NFL, and there's a lot of unknowns that are kind of hanging out there. And in particular, if he gets hurt and say it's a significant injury where he could lose, you know, he should theoretically be out for months or a year, when does his suspension begin? I mean, what does his classification become so that, you know, he doesn't miss 2 months of the season and then they say, well, now your suspension starts in full. So I guess it's a comment and a question to you guys.
So I think it depends. With a 12-game suspension, he can be with the team through preseason. And thank you for the call. He can be with the team through preseason, practicing and all that, and then when the regular season starts, he's got to go away from team facility. So if it's not a full season suspension, meaning he's not banished from the league, 12 games is not a banishment. 17 games where you have to reapply to the league, that is banishment. So Dusty actually kind of outlined that early in the show. If it is a 17-game suspension, the second it happens, the people in the know have told us, by people in the know, we're talking about the Dans, right?
Yeah, the Dans.
The Dans are quite
knowledgeable. Dan Wallach and Dan Lust.
The Dans, as they are known. But they have kind of let it known that that's the difference between a 12-game suspension and a 17-game suspension. Now, because I think it was Don't Hug Me, Bro, had the line that, you know, there's no more risk in a preseason game than there is in a regular season game. You can kind of shine a better light on this than I can, Dustin. I actually disagree. Because in an NFL regular season game, everybody's going the same speed, the same mentality. There's just, the preseason is different. Even though it's still an NFL game, you do have different guys, different agendas. Some guys trying to make the team. You're not playing just against ones. It's an uneven performance, and that includes on your own team and the other team. I don't trust the guys that play in the preseason as much as I trust the guys who are out there on the field every week in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if I'm going to play my starters, and including Deshaun Watson, number one, I want my starting offensive line out there, and number two, I'm hoping that the team, my opponent, is going to play their starters too, or at least their twos, because once you get down to the threes and fours, a lot of these guys are out to make a name. They're out to try and make a team. And this is totally different. So I want my guy to be protected, and I want him in an environment that's going to be very similar to what it would be in the regular season, or at least as close as you possibly can get to it.
If they are, as Kevin Stefanski said, dead set on playing Deshaun in one of these, and he might have used the phrase at least one of these three games, but if he is, then this actually might end, this Jacksonville game might end up being the best game because it's their second preseason game. So I would be pretty surprised because that's usually the second preseason game for most teams has been kind of the warm-up. So if I knew Jacksonville starters were going to be out there, I might feel a little bit better about this, even though I'm still pretty gun-shy on the actual reward of this. So based off what we heard from Kevin Stefanski yesterday, Deshaun will likely play in one of these three games. Is this Friday the game you want to see him? And do you think the Browns need to play Deshaun in the preseason? Ed, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us? Edward.
Hello?
Edward, what's
Ed,
up, buddy?
Yes. Do you want to see Deshaun Watson in the preseason?
I believe he should play. Just for the fact, you know, I understand what you're saying about PR. I really think, as a fan, like, we need to see what we invested in. I don't agree with a quarter a game. I'd say, like, maybe what Kevin's saying, at least see him in one of these games to see what he's got. Plus, he hasn't played in a year. I'd really like to see what we invested in.
So you want to just see it so we – I don't want to put words in your mouth. Do you just want to feel good about the Deshaun move for one night?
Well, if you put it like that, I understand what you're saying. To answer your question honestly, yes, I do want to see what Deshaun's got to what he's got.
So
I believe Deshaun Watson is a phenomenal athlete. I don't want to just discard that, but I do want to see him play to see what our investment is all about.
I don't,
it's a lot of money.
So let me tell you, Ed, I don't begrudge you or any fan having that opinion. I don't necessarily need to see Deshaun on the field. I feel like because I did watch him plenty in Houston, because he's been one of the most watchable players in the NFL since coming to the NFL 5 years ago, I kind of know what I think we're getting. Even if it's kind of a cheap facsimile of what we think we're going to get, because he will have not played in a while, even because it's going to be a watered-down offense. But I can at least understand the fan mentality of, well, I just want to see him so I can feel good about him. And, by the way, we mentioned Don't Hug Me Bros tweet to the show. Twitter reaction brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So we're asking you guys right now, do you need or do you think the Browns need to play Deshaun Watson in the preseason game? And I've had a few people bring it up. If you're going to do it, you might want it to be this weekend because there's no guarantee that ruling isn't going to come down between the end of this week and the beginning of the next preseason game there. So this does feel like if you're going to do it, it probably makes sense to do it this Friday. I think Greg Newsom even admitted when he joined us last week at camp, he's like, oh yeah, we talked the most. Like, he specifically talks the most. So there were two things to take away. One, Ja'Marr Chase saying that the toughest corner he faced last year was Denzel Ward. And the second, his little shade there at Greg Newsom. Well, he's not elite, but he talks a lot of
stuff.
He's
smack. A good player, but and listen, they do talk. We know that. We talked with Greg Newsom. We had him on the show last week, as you mentioned there, Nikki. And he does talk a lot during practice and during games. That's his style. Was never my style, but I get it, and I respect it. If it's part of your game, then do it.
I like it if it's an attitude shared by guys around you, right? Like if there's one guy who just never shuts the hell up.
It's like one of those things. And, you know, back when I was a rookie, I remember this was like 05. And remember when Ocho Cinco was doing the whole, like, put the corner back up in the locker of who's going to face the week.
Yeah.
And like talk smack about him and stuff. And we were facing the Bengals and Fred Smoot, who was my teammate, was who he was going to be going up against. And he talked like major smack that week. And it was just funny because like I was never a big trash talker, but I get it. And if you can do it, do it. And if it works for you, do it. For Newsom, it must work.
I don't mind it with these guys because I think they've backed it up. Like Greg Newsom what he did last year, I would agree. He's not elite yet. I would throw the yet in there because we're only going into year two. But, like, when Newsom's played, when Ward has played, and, I mean, all these young guys, they are ridiculously talented. So as long as you're backing up the field, I don't have a problem. I also think it's interesting that there does seem to be this kind of undercurrent of a tease of a burgeoning rivalry between these specific Bengals and these Browns versus, like, the Browns and Steelers. Mm-hmm. I know that's always in the background, but that doesn't matter as much to the Steelers in and out the way it did 30 years ago or even 20 years ago when the Browns came back. It definitely feels like the Browns and Bengals, there's some friction there. And I think, you know,
I'm here for it, man. I like it.
I am too. I think that's the thing.
I like a good rivalry. I like the fact that these teams are both going to expect to be good. Jamar Chase was, you know, one of the better receivers in football last year, and we got two of the better corners in football. Not Jamar Chase. I mean, they've got other really good receivers too.
You can make they may have
the best receiving core in the league.
I was going to say, Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow had one of the all-time quarterback wide receiver runs last year, starting in really December, it wasn't the Browns game where Jamar first went off because he was ridiculous all season long, but, like, yeah, the stakes feel a lot higher now. And you know what it is? It is the Browns' strength matches up well against the Bengals' strength and vice versa. Right? Pittsburgh, they've got a couple nice receivers. They don't have a Jamar Chase. Baltimore, they just traded.
Pretty good receivers.
What?
Pittsburgh's got pretty good receivers.
I mean, Claypool's nice.
Deontay Johnson?
They're nice, but they're not Jamar.
No.
So, and by the way, like, I think T. Higgins, if you put him on Pittsburgh, would be the number one receiver. I think T. Higgins might be the most underrated two receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd, pretty good too.
Yeah, I think that aids to this. Like, for a long time, what I think made the Baltimore-Pittsburgh rivalry stand out wasn't just that they were good at the same time. That starts it. But their styles were the same team, basically. They were throwback, smash mouth, punch you in the mouth teams, dominated with great defenses. I think that's what makes this intriguing. Like, Pittsburgh and Baltimore still play roughly the same style of football. Some of that in Baltimore is because Lamar is who he is as a quarterback, and that's just who he's going to be his whole career. Some of that has been, quite frankly, Ben Roethlisberger wasn't very good at the end of his career, and he had to run the ball a lot. But it's not that the Browns and Bengals are finesse. It's just they're both so skill player rich, at least defensively versus offensively for the Browns and Bengals. And you know what? That Joe Burrow thing isn't going away. Joe Burrow clearly wants some of this Ohio rivalry, and
he wants the smoke.
I'm really hope Deshaun can get out there soon because Deshaun versus Joe Burrow, we're gonna have a fighting chance. It'll be awesome though. Joe Burrow versus Jacoby Brissett or even Jimmy G, and I am on the toot toot
toot.
Kayla's not in here, so she doesn't know to play it. So don't get mad if you didn't hear the toot toot. That's my bad, but. Even Jimmy G versus Joe Burrow, they win it. Just the quarterback matchup in a landslide. Is that the team that you're... Because I feel like a lot of people are in the bubble with the Bengals. I think in 5 years, Joe Burrow, because he talks so much, I think he's going to be the person that people love to hate. Like I don't want to say Draymond, because Draymond hit dudes in the biscuits, and that's part of why we hated him so damn much. But Joe talks so much, and Joe's swagger... There's gonna be a boomerang effect on Joe Burrow, not just in Cleveland, but around the NFL, where people are like, you know what, I don't think I like that guy. He'll be beloved in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of there, I bet you he'll be one of the more hated quarterbacks in 5 years' time.
Think so.
Yeah. Because he's not like Josh Allen. Josh Allen's in Buffalo. He's a good dude, just a good hang, just a good vibe. Mr. Cali Cool, right? Lamar. Lamar's kind of a laid back dude. Like, you look at the other great quarterbacks in the AFC, there's not a lot of hateable dudes. Russ in Denver. Russ is a great family man, right? Good Christian man. Like, all the things you want, never says a damn thing. Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow smokes cigars. Joe Burrow tells you to go frig off. I can't wait. Because you do need a heel. It's like DeChambeau in golf. It's more interesting when somebody's willing to be the a-hole.
Yeah, I think Burrow is kind of a combination of both. Like, I think he is a good dude, but I think he's also got some serious swagger. Mm-hmm. And you saw it during his days, I should say, at LSU, and now you've seen it here in Cincinnati. Like, he's gonna trash talk. He fits in, man. Like, his teammates love him.
It kind of reminds me of a less confrontational Baker. Like, the swagger similar.
Yeah, imagine, like, if Eli Manning would have had the swagger that Joe Burrow had, like, Eli would have been much more liked by his teammates.
Maybe I would have thought he's a Hall of Famer instead of not.
He's still going to the Hall of Fame. But
he's going to. I just don't think it. I think it's BS.
Well, he was pretty damn good in the playoffs.
216-578-0092. We played a little bit of the Pivot podcast for Ja'Marr Chase, talking a little mess about Browns wide receivers. Who do you guys think? Who's the team that you're shaping up to hate the most in the AFC North over the next 5 years? I think it's easy. It's the Bengals.
I still think that it's going to be Baltimore.
So I think the key to it being Baltimore is they have to sign Lamar long term. They've got to keep him healthy.
Which they will,
and they've got to keep churning the deck around him. Because they're getting to the point where right now is the toughest time to be an organization with a franchise quarterback, having to pay him. It's like Cleveland in 2 years. After some of this money comes, or after some of these guys come up in free agency, the guys you haven't paid. It's not as if, just remember, they were a machine with Joe Burrow. Then they paid Joe Burrow, had to say goodbye to some other guys to pay Joe Burrow. And there was 5 years of relative 500 football in Baltimore. So who do you guys think in the AFC North will be the most hateable team here in Cleveland? Let's go with Bernard. Bernard, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Not too much, man. Other than this, it's Joe Flacco, not Burrow. You know that.
What was that?
I said it's Joe Flacco, you said, not Joe Burrow before. And Joe Burrow's done a lot of good stuff for Southeastern Ohio, man. So.
But we're in Northeastern Ohio.
Who cares? Good
I do. Good. Yeah, he's a Bengal. We're Browns. Are you a Browns fan?
Yes.
Get the hell out of here. You're not a Browns fan. If you like Joe Burrow, if you're apologizing for Joe Burrow, get the hell out of here.
I kind of like Joe Burrow.
No, you can like him now. You're going to hate him. You will.
Oh, I probably will.
It week 10 or whenever the hell they play him the second time late in the season, because remember, in the NFL, you get one early, one late. He did good stuff for Southeast. I don't give a damn. I don't live there. I don't care about Cincinnati. Quite frankly, if we just annexed it,
Sam Weish?
We should just give Cincinnati to Kentucky.
Yeah, they should be in Kentucky.
Yeah, it's not Ohio. All right?
If you've been there, it's really not Ohio.
Yeah, it's really not. It's this demilitarized zone between Ohio and Kentucky. And screw them. Screw that town. Screw those people. I will not hear Joe Burrow apology.
Half the players live in Kentucky.
Let him stay. Dan, real quick, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, I'm always going to hate the Steelers. I was born to hate the Steelers, raised to hate the Steelers, and I live in Erie in Pennsylvania, and all my friends are Steelers fans.
We're sorry
when it comes to that. Yeah, when it comes to that, it's always going to be the Steelers. But earlier, you guys were talking about if Watson should play in the preseason, and the guy made a really good point. He said, what a nightmare scenario if Watson plays, gets hurt, let's say, goes on IR, and then the league says you're suspended for a year, but he has to wait till after the IR. So he's out for like 2 years. That was what that guy was saying.
Ah, okay. I think what's happened with all the injury suspension and all that, and thank you for the call there. I do see a difference of Deshaun getting injured and having to come off a elongated suspension plus an injury. And that is a concern for me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball.
Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.